The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, it's the night before Halloween, so we're continuing our look at scary movies on Inside Hollywood. As always, we're joined in studio by Lisa Cannon, podcaster and cultural commentator. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Happy Halloween.
Good Lord.
It's here tomorrow. It's here tomorrow. Or tonight, the eve of Halloween.
Does that count? Halloween is getting awful long this weather.
Do you think so?
Oh, it's only been 4 weeks now.
Do you know what I just bought? A Halloween costume for my 9-month-old, Donald Duck. I had to do it. It's terrible, I know. But listen.
With the beak?
With the beak, yeah.
Would you be able to get
shebang.
A 9-month-old to wear a beak? I wish you luck.
Thank you.
We're looking then at the sort of the Hollywood classics for Halloween, and there are lots of them. So we should probably start with the man who is most prolific of all, Stephen King.
Absolutely. Stephen King, the quintessential American author of horror. Now, you know, he's done everything, supernatural fiction, suspense and fantasy novels. He was born in 1947 in Portland in Maine, and he is definitely one of the most prolific horror writers. And I think what's great about Stephen King is that he says no to the naysayers. You know, he feels he's a modern fictional writer that should be respected, not just somebody that dishes out Carrie, The Shining, you know, The Stand, Misery. I mean, he's done some incredible movies, even like Stand By Me, which made into movies, excuse me, his books, short stories. But, you know, famous for The Green Mile, Salem's Lot, I think for him, he feels that his stories that are terrifying and they captivate the world have a reasoning behind them. And we have a little clip, don't we?
Well, I think people are frightened of almost anything, you know, as far as the unknown, anything unexpected, anything that's going to jump out of them at them in the dark. You know, I remember the final scene in Carrie where the hand comes up out of the grave and grabs Amy Irving. If you can get people with their defenses down and get them in the open, you can grab them and do a job on them. And that's what I like to do.
So which of his movies does that job best?
His favorite movie is actually not one of the ones you think. He loves Stand By Me. For me, it's It, Stephen King. It was the 1990 film.
It was the clown living in the sewers.
Yeah. It had, of course, Mr. Curry starting off with the series, and then, of course, Bill Sarsgaard. Now, he actually can move his eyes independently. That's why they cast him. It's absolutely so eerie. It's so chilling. Pennywise, 2017 film. It was very unsettling for many. I don't even think I could watch it. I had to watch through my fingers, which is how I watch most horrors. But it was record breaking when it came out, shattered box office records. And it's one of the highest grossing horror films of all time, 700 million.
Let's remind ourselves.
There's peanuts, cotton candy, hot dogs. And
popcorn?
Popcorn! Is that your favorite?
Uh-huh.
Mine too! Because they pop. Pop, 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 pop. Pop, pop, pop.
I should get going now.
Oh. Without you both, you don't want to lose it, Georgie. Bill's gonna kill you. Take it. Take it, Georgie.
It's a long time since I've read the book. I assume somebody gets eaten now. Is that right?
Well, his hand goes, not to spoil it for everyone, but yes, the poor child. In the sewers there, that was actually particularly challenging for all the young children to make those scenes. It was very cramped and very dark, but you can see Pennywise, it's chilling, isn't it, to the bone. It's kind of unpredictable, but for my mind, I thought his performance was almost animalistic. I couldn't watch that again. I mean, I've watched it once and that's enough for me, but I thought Tim Curry's was a lot more digestible than 1990.
In terms of ones where there was difficult productions, The Shining, does it? Because that, of course, that the lead actress in The Shining absolutely hated the process of making that film. Yeah. Does it stand up all these years later?
Absolutely.
40-something, 50-something?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, The Shining is one of those with Jack Nicholson at the helm that you're always going to, as a go-to kind of in the wheelhouse of horror, I would always watch it around Halloween time. You know, here's Johnny is the iconic line, and Stephen King has so many of those, you know, from all his films. I mean, even the Pennywise, they all float down here. That's obviously a classic from the It film as well. But I think The Shining is one that most people are able to digest. And we talk about digestible horror films, you know, Halloween is kind of, well, I wouldn't say it's laughable now, but people can watch it without being absolutely terrified. And there's so many that classic films that people can watch, from Hereditary. People are thinking, no, there's no way I can watch it, but actually it's not too bad. The Exorcist, we've had that 3 weeks ago. We discussed that in depth. It's kind of hailed as the scariest movie of all time. But, you know, when you look at it for what it is, in 1973, you might be able to watch it. For the children, we have Hocus Pocus. That's a lovely one that kids can watch. That's from 1993. And what about Get Out? Have you seen that?
No.
2017. Yeah, that was excellent. Jordan Peele's thriller. It was a horror movie that kind of delved into the themes of race and social tension. But The Shining, yeah, 1980, Stanley Kubrick. The adaptation is wonderful, and I think people will always revisit it for sure.
Where do you stand on the family nature of Beetlejuice?
Love it.
Oh, do you? It's okay to watch with kids?
I think so. Look, I know Tim Burton is a bit off the wall and he's a bit, you know, dark in terms of his humour and his content. But I watched the second Beetlejuice only about 3 nights ago. And obviously it's very different. We're moving decades on. But I think the essence of Beetlejuice is still there. It's still a little bit scary, but at the same time, it's comedy in most sense of purposes. A lot of good makeup. Beetlejuice is wonderful. And look, if you haven't seen it, why haven't you seen it? And second of all, here's a clip of why it is the best. The best.
What are your qualifications?
Ah, well, I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it. Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy. Now, what do you think? You think I'm qualified?
Well, what I mean is, can you be scary?
Oh, I know what you're asking me. Can I be scary? What do you think of this?
It's mischievous, right? That's the kind of...
It definitely
of
is, yeah.
Nugget of
And nobody chews scenery like Michael Keaton.
No. And there's actually a really good talk with Michael Keaton on Vanity Fair and why he chose the project. And he's incredibly physical as an actor, almost macabre, you know, commedia dell'arte. And I just think he's got a great kind of dynamic when he brings Beetlejuice to life. And he did it again, of course, in the second one as well. So that's a nice one for kids to watch, I think.
What if we're looking, thinking, maybe I'll get out of the house on Halloween rather than hiding in the back room? What do you recommend that's currently in the cinema?
Yeah, my dad used to do that. Switch all the lights off and hope none of the trick-or-treaters find him. Well, The Substance has been doing the rounds. It's a kind of a horror thriller directed by Coralie Fargate, which has got Demi Moore in it. She was on the Graham Norton show talking about it. Margaret Qualley, who is a wonderful, brilliant new bright actress. It's a kind of psychological horror and surreal thriller mixed together, an exploration of physical and psychological boundaries. I can't say too much more.
It's sort of a picture of Dorian Gray made modern, is it?
Yeah, a little bit like Death Becomes Her as well. There's magic potions and how do we stop the dreaded aging and what will come of it. But it's an exploration. It's, you know, dark and it's surreal, but it's one definitely for people to watch in cinemas. Or Salem's Lot is another one. Bringing back, we're talking about Stephen King again, this great vampire story.
Salem's Lot is, yeah. It was made in the 70s, wasn't it? I can't remember if they made a movie of the book. They did, didn't they?
They did, yeah. So we're moving on now with kind of the revamped version for modern audiences. And then the first Omen, that was a prequel to The Omen, explores kind of the chilling supernatural elements of the Catholic Church. But that's another one. There's two movies out, but there's plenty of others if you want to explore getting away from the back room and turning all the lights off to, you know, having a night in the cinema with your loved ones. Why not? Or just sit in front of the box and watch some great ones. I mean, kids' ones are also wonderful. I mean, I loved Practical Magic with Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman. You're shaking your head. You don't know that one.
That one missed me.
That's a good
one. Why do you recommend it?
I just think it's a nice, lighthearted kind of it's like a female kind of angle on the genre of witches. I love witches when it comes to Halloween. Love the Addams Family, love Frankenweenie, love Paranorman. I mean, all of those movies. The Corpse's Bride, another Tim Burton creation. The Nightmare Before Christmas, although considered weirdly kind of a Christmas movie, is a great Halloween movie.
I always find there's a point with Tim Burton where he just gets too Tim Burton. And I think that was the point that he got too Tim Burton. How do you feel about A Quiet Place?
Yes. Well, I didn't like it. I mean, I again, I'm not a horror person. I mean, one of your producers outside was like dying to find out what I was going to do for this segment today. I am genuinely, I find them a bit of a roller coaster of emotions. I can't do the paranormal, but I can watch kind of gore and grime and grit. So
Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
I can watch that, no problem, because I know it's just a lot of makeup and blood. But when it's kind of something like Poltergeist or something like The Conjuring, no, I have chills. Like, I'd be
Nightmare
terrified.
On Elm Street then, where does that fit in the, does Nightmare on Elm Street count as gore or does it count as paranormal terror?
Oh goodness, you got me on that one. I would say more gore, but you know, I'm a child of the 80s, so Child's Play for me terrified me. That was one I can't revisit that without feeling a little bit, you know, nauseous.
Did the whole fact that Chucky was only 2 feet tall not wreck the thing for you?
Yeah, the doll with the dagger. There's so many. I mean, people saying to me, what about Casper? You know, what about Monster House? All these kind of children who, you know, go to the spooky house and, you know, want to be terrified. I mean, that's what Halloween's all about. It's got the jump scare. You want to be frightened. But, you know, there's some really beautiful stories out there. We all know Roald Dahl, who had done all incredible Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and so many others. Fantastic Mr. Fox, George's Marvelous Medicine. But it's the witches for me that I think is the Halloween staple from Roald Dahl. And Angelica Houston played the key role there in The Witch. And we have a clip.
Your disgrace! Miserable witches. You're good for nothing worms. Everywhere I look, I see the repulsive sight of hundreds, thousands of revolting little children. I ask you, why? One child a week is no good to me.
We will do better. We will do much better.
Better is no good either.
There was me thinking Michael Keaton was chewing the scenery.
He's good, isn't he?
Lisa, thank you so much. That is Lisa Cannon with the recommendations there for scary Hollywood movies. And don't forget, if you miss any of that, we'll pop it up as podcast, as we do with all of our items, so you can have a listen back if you're looking for recommendations.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.